The World This Week, Politics.
Hopes of a ceasefire in Gaza after the death of Yahya Sinwar, the leader of Hamas, seem to fade. Mr. Sinwar was the mastermind of the attacks on October 7, 2023, which unleashed the war. He was killed in a firefight with an Israeli patrol in the south of Gaza. Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's prime minister, said that the conflict was not over. Antony Blinken made his 11th visit to the Middle East in just over a year. America's Secretary of State told Mr. Netanyahu that Israel needed to allow more humanitarian aid into northern Gaza. Earlier this month, America warned Israel that it risked restrictions on military assistance if it did not increase food supplies and other aid to the Strip. Israel escalated its offensive on its second front in Lebanon, targeting institutions including banks linked with Hezbollah, the Iran-backed militia. It called for a broad evacuation before launching airstrikes in Tyre, a historic port city where many displaced people had fled, and hit the suburbs of Beirut. America asked Israel to scale down its strikes on the capital to avoid more civilian deaths. Both sides confirmed that Hashem Safieddine was killed 3 weeks ago. He was the presumed successor to Hassan Nasrallah, Hezbollah's former leader, who is also now dead. Saudi Arabia began building the Mukab, a cube-shaped skyscraper in Riyadh that would be the world's largest building. The Giga project is meant to be finished by 2030. Two prominent opposition figures, Elvino Dias and Paulo Guamba, were murdered in Mozambique. Mr. Dias had been preparing a legal challenge to the results of the country's general election. Frelimo, in power since 1975, is likely to win. International observers said the vote had been plagued by irregularities. Egypt became the most populous African country and the world's fifth to be declared malaria-free by the World Health Organization. Mummies show the illness which jumped from great apes to people in the African rainforest and then migrated up the Nile Valley, arrived there more than 5,000 years ago. Paul Biya reappeared. Cameroon's 91-year-old president landed in Yaoundé, the capital, returning from Switzerland. He had not been seen in public for over 6 weeks, prompting speculation that he had died. Donald Trump filed a legal complaint accusing Britain's ruling Labour Party of sending staff to campaign for his opponent, Kamala Harris, in swing states. Britain's Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer said the volunteers were travelling on their own time and that the dispute would not tarnish his good relationship with the Republican candidate. Elon Musk, the CEO of Tesla and owner of X, was criticised for launching a lottery that awards $1 million to a registered American voter every day in an apparent effort to rally Republicans in swing states. Maia Sandu secured a first-round victory in Moldova's presidential election, which was marred by allegations of Russian meddling. The pro-Western president is expected to prevail in a runoff against Alexander Stoyanoglu, a Russophile. In a parallel referendum, Moldovans voted to enshrine ambitions to join the European Union in their constitution by a razor-thin majority of 50.46%. Ms. Sandu called it an unfair fight, blaming Russian dirty tricks. At least 5 people were killed and many wounded in a suspected terrorist attack at a defence facility near Ankara, Turkey's capital. No group claimed responsibility. Turkey's interior minister blamed the PKK. It conducted retaliatory airstrikes on targets linked with the Kurdish militia group in Syria and Iraq. Giorgia Meloni, Italy's prime minister, fought to save her scheme to divert asylum seekers to Albania. After the first group of 12 migrants from Bangladesh and Egypt arrived at a processing centre last week, an Italian court ordered them to be transported to Italy. To overcome the legal hurdle, Ms. Meloni's cabinet passed a decree that designated 19 countries as safe to return to. Austria's president, Alexander van der Bellen, asked the Chancellor, Karl Niehammer, whose centre-right party came a close second in the parliamentary election in September, to form a government after the other main parties said they would not join a coalition with the hard-right Freedom Party, which came top. President Volodymyr Zelensky presented his victory plan for Ukraine to European leaders in Brussels, making the case for his country to be invited into NATO. The five-point strategy argued for sustained funding and an expanded arsenal. It also laid out what Ukraine could offer the West if it were to win the war with Russia. America and NATO confirmed that North Korea is sending troops to help Russia fight in Ukraine. America's Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, said the escalation would be a very, very serious issue with possible repercussions in the Indo-Pacific region. Ukraine estimated that Russia's ally had committed 11,000 troops to the conflict. South Korea said that it might supply Ukraine with weapons in response. China's leader Xi Jinping and India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi held their first bilateral meeting in 5 years on the sidelines of the annual BRICS summit in Russia. Mr. Xi urged cooperation between the two powers to promote the multipolarization of the world and the democratization of international relations. Days earlier, the two countries reached a truce around patrolling their disputed Himalayan border, an issue that has overshadowed their relations since 2020. The first stage of the trial of Singapore's opposition leader, Pritam Singh, for charges of lying under oath in Parliament wrapped up. Mr. Singh, who heads the Workers' Party, has pleaded not guilty. Alejandro Toledo, Peru's former president, was convicted of corruption in connection with the Lava Jato scandal that erupted in Brazil a decade ago. A court found him guilty of taking at least $35 million in bribes in a highway construction deal. He was sentenced to 20 years and 6 months in prison. Power was restored to much of Cuba after several days of countrywide blackouts. The island gets its electricity from unreliable Soviet-era power plants and generators on ships rented from Turkey. The government has admitted that it can no longer afford the oil.